Roger, how long have you guys been with this ministry in India and how this started?
Well, right now it's been 20 and a half years since I left India. I mean, pardon me, Eden Valley and went to India. 20 and a half years.
20 and a half.
Yeah.
All right. And what made you guys decide going to that region?
Well, you know, there used to be a guy named Lowell Hargraves here, and he'd been president here, and he went with Amazing Facts, and he'd come back here, and he asked me then, my wife and I were living down here, if I'd be interested in going to India and holding a series of evangelistic meetings and starting a new church. And I said, yes. And so, you know, those days in Eden Valley, why we got together, a husband and wife, we got $150 a month. And that was a salary for both of us. And we had three kids here. In fact, but this morning I got five grandchildren here. Years have been good to me. One of my grandsons was playing the piano and the young granddaughter was leading the choir. So, the Lord has been extremely good to us. When we went into the part of India where we've been working now, there was one church that had six members. Now we've got, in that part of India, about 70 churches and we've got about 5,000 members. And so I can't take any of the credit for it. I know where the credit is due. The Lord has just given me the privilege of working there. I do have a trophy from India here this morning. I went into the part of India where we live now and started teaching a class of 30 Pentecostal pastors. And in a little while, they were all baptized, became Adventists. It took me 2 years to go to all their churches and hold meetings and turn all their churches into Adventist churches. So that was just a good start. But one of my pastors, one of my original 30 pastors, he was a very, very good man, best man I had, really. And but he got cancer, and he knew he was going to die. Well, he had three boys, and he had one daughter. And his one daughter is here today, and I'd like to have her come up to the platform. Jyothi, would you come up here briefly? This pastor, his name was George Massa. He was a very good man. He knew he was going to die. And in India, men do not love their daughters. But George loved his daughter. And he came to me when he had cancer. And some of you know this girl here. And he said, you know, I'm going to die. And I haven't found a husband for my daughter yet. In India, as soon as a girl starts her monthly cycles, her father tries to find a husband to marry her to. Anything, get her pushed out of the house. And that's what they told her father. Her father's name was George. He told me this story himself. As soon as she got old enough, they said, okay, find a husband for her, anybody to push her out of the house. Get her out of the way so you don't have to feed her. And he says, no, I love my daughter. Now, see, it's very unusual in India for a man to really love his daughter. But he really did. And he says, one day God is going to send a good man to marry her, and we're just going to wait. Well, then her husband, which... You raise your hand there, Mark. You see Mark sitting here at the front. He emailed me and asked me to come over and work with me in India. And I said, yes, come on over. And I got to thinking. See, Jyothi had turned 22 by then. And her father's friends were saying, well, see, now your daughter's so old, nobody will ever marry her. We told you to get rid of her when she was young. And she and Mark were both 22 years old. And so I started praying about it. I said, Lord, if they would fall in love and get married, that'd get me off the hook because, see, I was supposed to find her a husband and being the father. One blessed thing is, though, her actual father, George, he lived to the wedding. You could tell he was dying. We took a chair, put him on a chair, and put him on a platform, and he lived 4 days afterward. But he got to see her married to a very good man, and he was really, really happy. I was really thankful for that. And Jyothi's been really a precious daughter. She lived with my wife and I for some time before this. My wife is a nurse. Women would come with some type of a female problem. And originally, Jyothi's older brother was the only one that could translate. In India, there's no way that a woman is going to tell a man any kind of a physical problem that she has, you know. And so then my wife would be trying to figure out what's wrong with this woman, you know. She couldn't tell her brother. The woman couldn't because it didn't embarrass her. And she'd tell him something and then kind of embarrass him. And he'd tell my wife something. And by the time he got through, my wife had no idea what was wrong with the woman. But when Jyothi came there and she lived with us, she picked up English real quick. So then the women, of course, they didn't mind telling another woman. And then she could explain to my wife her English got better and better very quickly. And so my wife helped her be much more effective. So it was really a blessing. And thank you, Jyothi. Thank you for being such a good, sweet daughter. And they have three children. Their first one was born in India and two in the United States then. Well, the Lord has really been good to us. We still have three orphanages. And it's hard to tell you how many kids because it goes up and down. But last time I counted, we were at about 246. And there are a lot of little orphan kids in India. Really makes you feel sorry for them. When we get them into the orphanage, you should see them. Their hair looks like an afro. And it's full of everything because they've just been laying down and sleeping on the ground. And they just beg. My TV speaker, Pastor Elisha Rao, he was here a few years ago. Some of you probably remember him. He grew up as an orphan on the street. And he says, you only get something to eat every second or third day as an orphan. And these kids come in, and a lot of times they have no clothes whatsoever. Sometimes somebody has given them a little piece of cloth to put around their middle, but not all the time. And the first thing we do when we get them in, and two of the orphanages, we've gotten in 10 kids in one night, two different orphanages. And the first thing you do, you give them something to eat because they're always hungry, starved to death. Then the next thing you do is you cut off all their hair, girls and boys both. In India, ladies sometimes take their hair and offer it as a sacrifice to one of the Hindu gods. So that isn't embarrassing for the little girls to have their hair all cut off. And then we give them a bath and get them some clothes to wear. And they're happy. And the next morning, they finally realize they're going to get to have breakfast too. That really is surprising to them that they're going to get more than just one meal a day. And anyway, that's really been a blessing. My TV speaker, I mentioned, he called me just yesterday. And work is just really going on fantastic there. He'd been working a couple big cities there, Hyderabad and Secunderabad. They're close together in the center of Andhra Pradesh, the state of Andhra Pradesh. And one of them, he's got 150 Lutheran pastors that he's given studies to. And the bishop came to him and he said, I know that you're an Adventist. He said, now whatever you do, don't tell any of my men that you're an Adventist. Okay, the name of our TV program there is God's True Light. He said, tell my men you're a member of the God's True Light evangelistic team. Well, that's not a lie. That's true. He says, if my men find out you're an Adventist, a bunch of them are going to get up and leave. And I want all my men to understand what Adventists believe. Isn't that something? And this Lutheran bishop, he has over 1,000 men under him, all that part of India. And Elisha Rao had a Bible study with him, several Bible studies, several hours. And this man, the last one, Elisha Rao said, he came out and he was really scared. He said, boy, I never knew who the beast was and what the mark of the beast was. And he says, I've got thousands of church members underneath my pastors. And he says, if I don't get this message out there, I'm going to be responsible for their blood on my hands if they're lost. And so he says, boy, we got to get the message out. So they had there's a great big Lutheran church there, and they ended up having 4,000 Lutheran members there for a couple Sundays in a row. And before that, just before that, they, in another place called Guntur, they had 5,000 Lutheran members in a great big church, giving them the Adventist message. The interesting thing is, if these churches all change over, they'll keep their name Lutheran. They won't change to Adventist. There'll be a Seventh-day Lutheran church that believes in the state of the dead and second coming and everything like you and I do, and the Sabbath. We've got probably hundreds out there right now, really, truly hundreds of them, but we don't know how many. Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, and Lutheran churches that are keeping the Sabbath, and they believe everything like you and I do, but they don't change their name. At one time, I was holding classes for 360 pastors, and most of them changed over. But you wouldn't know it. I hear people tell me, you know, when I'm there, they say, well, there's a Lutheran church over there, or a Baptist, or Pentecostal, but they're a funny church, you know. They go to church on Saturday, and they don't believe you go to heaven as soon as you die. And I say, oh, well, that's interesting. Yes, yeah, they go to church on Saturday and everything. Well, you know, I guess the Lord doesn't care what their name is. They've got the truth. And we know at different times through history, from what Sister White tells us, we know that the Methodist Church at one time was carrying the Church of Truth. And some of the rest of them were. And they love the Lord, and they're serving Him and obeying Him. So that's wonderful. Well, now I got a call from the young man that's managing the pastors right now. I've got 31 pastors in that area. And we've got in a neighborhood of 70 churches right in that area right now. And we figure about 5,000 members. But I don't dare give an exact figure, because when I give an exact figure, somebody will call me and say, sir, don't you know? They call me sir, not brother. I wish they'd call me brother, but that's the way they are in India under the old British system, sir, you know. They say, you said there were so many such and such church members, but we baptized 14 over in this other village here and then another six in another village, so I'm always behind. So I don't give exact numbers. But they were calling in one area there on the edge of the mountains, and these mountains are controlled by communist terrorists, and I know they are, and I know they're carrying guns, because one day I had nine of them standing around pointing their rifles at me. And I could look right down the barrel of a rifle. Have you ever done that? Well, that's kind of interesting. Look right down the barrel of a rifle, and you turn around, and you've got nine of them pointing at you. And so I really believe in Psalms 34:7, you know, the angel of the Lord. And I believe in all the promises. I claim them every day. Remember Philippians 4:19, all God shall supply all your need. Ephesians 3:20, he said he'll do more than we can ask or think. I see the Lord do that every month. Every month. It's costing me about $10,000 a month. Keep all the work going there because we've got two TV programs going on in three languages. And those of you that are here know I never ask anybody for money. But I do ask for money. I really ask for money. But not from human beings. But anyway, this young man, Ramesh, called me up. They were having a meeting of a lot of Adventists in this one area. And a bunch of Hindu priests showed up there. And they brought some Hindu politicians, lower politicians, like local politicians, not, you know, big statewide or anything like that. But these Hindu priests came and said, okay, you guys here. He says, now, your ancestors were Hindus. And your fathers and mothers were Hindus. And you grew up as Hindus as children. Now you've left the true church. Why have you done that? They said, you know, if you don't come back and join the Hindu church again when you die, you won't be able to come back as a high-class, high-caste Hindu. And, you know, in India they have that caste system. And these people in the mountains, they're all low-caste. And the Hindus teach them that if you die as a low-caste Hindu, you're going to be able to come back as a high-caste. And, you know, in Hinduism, they think they're going to have to go through this life at least six times as different types of animals. If you die and you're not quite good enough, you may come back as a cow. That's why the cows are sacred over there, because there's somebody's grandmother or somebody that wasn't quite good enough to become a god. But anyway, these priests came there, but the Adventists, they told me, they stood right up to them and they said, look, you're right. We did grow up as Hindus, but what did the Hindus ever do for us? Name one thing the Hindus ever did for us. They said, you know what the Adventists have done? The Adventists have come here and they've taught us a lot about eating, so we're more healthy than we were. And they said, when we've had hurricanes, they brought food, they brought clothes. They said they have health camps up here. We'll go into different villages. This young man, Ramesh, his wife is a doctor and his sister is a nurse. And they'll get another couple doctors and some more nurses, and they'll bring them to one of these villages. And then Ramesh will bring up a number of our pastors, because sometimes we'll get 2,000, what's this guy standing here for?
Yes.
They're all close here. Anyway, well, sometimes we'll get 2,000 people for a health camp. And so we've done that in many, many villages. And so the Adventists realized that we have really helped them a lot. And so the lower politicians, after they got through, they stood up and they said, okay, we realize the Adventists have helped us and the other Christians haven't. They said, the Adventists never ask for offerings. They just come and help us. And so from now on, the only church we're going to let start up in these areas are Adventist churches. No more Sunday-keeping churches. Amen. So we do need your prayers. We've got a lot of work going on, and we really need your help, and we need the Lord's help. And if you ask him, he'll help us continually. Thank you. Amen.